Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me. Seek, and ye shall find. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. Our scripture for this morning is taken from the fourth chapter of Ephesians, the first through the 16th verses. I entreat you then, I, a prisoner for the Lord's sake, as God has called you, live up to your calling.
Be humble always and gentle and patient too. Be forbearing with one another and charitable. Spare no effort to make fast with bonds of peace the unity which the Spirit gives. There is one body and one Spirit, as there is also one hope held out in God's call to you. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But each of us has been given his gift, his due portion of Christ's bounty. Therefore, Scripture says, he ascended into the heights with captives in his train. He gave gifts to men. Now the word ascended implies that he also descended to the lowest level, down to the very earth. He who descended is no other than he who ascended far above all heavens, so that he might fill the universe. And these were his gifts, some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip God's people for work in his service, to the building up of the body of Christ. So shall we all at last attain to the unity inherent in our faith and our knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, measured by nothing less than the full stature of Christ. We are no longer to be children, tossed by the waves and whirled about by every fresh gust of teaching, dupes of crafty rogues and their deceitful ways. No, let us speak the truth in love. So shall we fully grow up into Christ. He is the head, and on him the whole body depends. Bonded and knit together by every constituent joint, the whole frame grows through the due activity of each part and builds itself up in love.
Will you bow with me for prayer? Our most gracious God, make us aware of the real meaning for fellowship and of the responsibility of community. As we share this communion meal, help us to realize our relation to our brother beside us. Help us to realize that individuality is only meaningful in relation to the community. Father, do not allow us to narrow our vision of social relationships to our minute circles, but rather give us an awareness of mankind. May we never limit our concern to our own community, but to include also our nation and our world, which is desperately in need of a sense of fellowship. But never allow us, Father, to overlook our brother next to us in our abstraction. Give us rather a genuine concern for humanity, which begins with the individual and includes the community. In Christ we pray. Amen.
There were undoubtedly many hopes in the minds and hearts of the founders of this school when it was established. The motto which was adopted clearly depicts at least one of these hopes, found in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. For a moment this morning, let us look at these words and their implications for us. The man of God, he's assumed here. It is not the mission of the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, or the school to make us be men of God. We are not here in this place to be made men of God. We are here because we have heard a call to step out of darkness into light, to step out of death into life. We are here in response to an encounter. Somewhere, someplace, in some way, we felt his presence. We heard his voice. We felt his touch upon us. And humbly, stumblingly, fearfully, we said, "Here am I, Lord. Send me." This is not to say that we've come here full grown, or that all of us are absolutely certain of this high calling of God in Christ Jesus, for some are still in a pilgrimage seeking to find the way. But the school has had to assume or presume that each has had some kind of encounter with the living God, and that we have come here then to learn how to interpret this call, but more to implement it in the ministry of the living Christ and his body, the church. So the emphasis has not been placed on our devotional life here. There's not been an effort to evangelize us or to propagandize us. Rather, the emphasis has been on theological education. Whether too much has been presumed, I do not know. Perhaps some of you feel that devotion to Christ has been sacrificed on the altar of scholarship. However, when you and I are out on the firing line, out on the frontier or the cutting edge, lack of prayer will not be our problem. Brethren, we will pray. But lack of preparation and adequate weapons may be our problem. So, this school has worked with us, faculty and administration, that the man of God may be complete and equipped, well-rounded, able to give an answer for the hope that is in him. I'm reminded whenever I think of this word complete of a word from Hosea, the 7th chapter, the 8th verse. Ephraim is a cake not turned. In other words, Ephraim is half-baked. Whatever Hosea had in mind, the phrase fits most of us students. We are not yet complete. We are not yet fully equipped for the battle which is ours. We are still immature, lacking the necessary wisdom and skill to fulfill our ministry. And so the faculty has labored with us. We may still be not yet complete, but hopefully we are equipped to enter the battle. Yet, like David in Saul's armor we may not yet feel. We've been able to prove all of this equipment. We may still feel a little awkward with some of the tools that have been given to us. But time and circumstance will certainly provide the opportunity for us to prove this equipment. There remains then a final word, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. There really has been method in some of the madness of theological education. There's been a purpose or a goal here, dimly perceived by some of us, sometimes not perceived, but there has been. And I think it's that we, the servants of the living God, might be equipped for the challenge of this 20th century, prepared to give a witness in this secular world to the reality of God and of His purpose, His redemptive purpose in this world, and that we might be able to do this with some measure of effectiveness. It's hard to say this morning just which piece of equipment we will use the most. I'm confident, in the light of some 20 years now in the ministry, that you at this moment will be as shocked as I to find that some of the tools you thought you'd use the most, you perhaps will use the least. It's hard to say then which piece of equipment is most important as we go, or which good work will demand the most attention, for there are 1,001 demands. And this depends so much on the situation to which we go. But in all that we seek to take with us from this place, particularly those of us who are being graduated and will be moving out into the vineyard, in all that we take with us, brethren, let us not forget the towel and the basin, which our Lord, in the middle of the meal, rose from the table to lay hold of, this towel and this basin. Stooping down, He began to wash the disciples' feet. They were shocked, of course, and protested. But the lesson finally dawned on them. If our Lord is willing to humble Himself and stoop down and wash feet, how dare we, His servants, exalt ourselves and try to play God? Concern ourselves more about the chief seats in the throne room than the dusty roads and the hungry lives, the wounded, bruised bodies of men who are our brothers. So, as we come to the table now, let us remember the basin and the towel. They talk today a lot about the servant church. I'm not sure what all they mean by this, but when I think of a servant, I think of a towel and a basin. In the spirit then of Him who humbled Himself, who emptied Himself of the glory rightfully His, and was found in fashion as a man, who took upon Him the form of a servant and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, in His spirit, let us come now to break bread together.